this truth of the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Yard Life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I'm going to play for you the beginning of a debate that I was involved with between young earth and old earth Christians. There are creationists who believe that the earth and the universe are billions of years old. And there's a group called Reasons to Believe, headed up by Hugh Ross, and they have a Denver chapter. And in February of 2004, I had the opportunity to debate them, me and Don Daly, who is a science teacher at Maranatha Christian Center. We debated representatives from the local chapter of Reasons to Believe. In fact, it was a professor of mathematics at CU up in Boulder and a geophysicist. The event was hosted by Denver's apologetic ministry called God Is Now Here and Daniel Hedrick. And it was a really interesting debate. I'm going to play for you the beginning, and then if you enjoy it, you can call us at 800-8-ENYART and order the whole debate on MP3 CD. You'll not only get the audio for the debate, but also the slide presentation that we used. So our phone number is 800-8-ENYART. That's 800-836-9278. The audio is not the best, but I think you'll be able to hear it, so I hope you enjoy it.
Bob Enyart will be presenting the Young Earth position, and after he's completed the Old Earth position from Reasons to Believe. Once these introductions are done, then we'll all join around the table. So first I'd like to introduce Bob Enyart, and he will be presenting the first argument for the Young Earth creation.
Thank you, Daniel, and God Is Now Here, for inviting Don Daly, my partner, and me. And thank you to St. John's for hosting this debate. And to John Nickel and Gordon Brown, thank you guys for being here. Let me tell you our strategy. We hope to show that the earth is young from Scripture and let scientific observations disprove theories of billions of years. And while our opponents disagree with our conclusions, we believe the earth is about 6,000 years old, they will mostly agree with our evidence, for we both take evidence from the same sources. So we submit that science rejects an old earth and that the Bible shows that it's young. Now, Genesis says that God made the heavens and the earth on day one, and the trees on day three, and the sun, moon, and stars on day four. And since trees cannot live long without the sun, this order reinforces the literal 24-hour creation days. The Big Bang, on the other hand, says that the universe took billions of years to evolve, and so old earthers turn the 6 days of creation into billions of years, but the Big Bang says that the stars came first before the earth, so our opponents interpret the Bible by the Big Bang. Thus, they believe that the stars were made before the earth, not only inserting billions of years into the 6 days, but also, to that extent, rearranging the creation days. Now let's test the Big Bang to see if an explosion can create our universe. Which came first, stars or galaxies? If you've been led to think that the Big Bang is virtually all proved by science, realize this, that the Big Bang struggles, the theory struggles even to explain which came first, the stars or the galaxies. The Big Bang is not revealed truth. These photographs will help us test the Big Bang.
And let me interrupt here. If you order the CD of the debate, you'll not only get the entire audio, but also the slide presentation, the photographs, so that as you hear this, you can follow along and see the pictures. So you can order that from us at 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, or go online at kgov.com.
If galaxies are millions or billions of years old, Since these stars are moving so fast, these spiral arms should be deformed by now, but they're not. And why not? Because they're not millions of years old. Also, the stars in those pinwheels, in those pinwheel arms, they're moving way faster than natural formation could move them. And even worse for the Big Bang, the galaxies that are the furthest away, there we go from 2 million to 100 million light years away, the ones furthest away, according to the Big Bang, should be the youngest ones, and the ones next door should be much older. Yet no matter how far away you get, the galaxies stay the same, and the spirals are all newly wound up. Even when we go to the Hubble and we look 12 billion light years away, about as far away from the Earth as we can peer, we find out that while the Big Bang believes that we should be seeing galaxies that were just evolving, new galaxies, smaller galaxies, maybe more wound up galaxies, they're the same as the galaxies next door, which is what young Earth creationists predict. Now, there are superstructures that astronomers are finding. In fact, they find them in different shapes as they attempt to map the universe. And we see here superstructures in the top left. That's an actual map of the universe where every dot is a galaxy. And astronomers have called those structures walls. They said there's walls, great walls in the universe. And that there's filaments or strings. And even there appears to be bubbles where galaxies form the shape of bubbles. Now, how does the Big Bang explain these things? Well, gravity can pull things into clumps, but not into bubbles, strings. And if we look at the time it would take to form one of these great structures, I've got a quote here from Dr. Gerard Williger from NASA in 2001. He discovered one of these superstructures, and he said gravity simply wouldn't have had time to pull a structure together 500 million light years across, given the age of the universe back then. So even if gravity could produce bubbles or strings or walls, which it doesn't, it could produce clumps, it wouldn't have the time to make these structures. Then we found out the background temperature of the universe, 2.7 degrees Kelvin background temperature. That was a discovery that brought two huge problems to the Big Bang, time and clumping. And here's the two problems. Beginning with a Big Bang just 15 billion years ago, is there enough time for the background radiation temperature of the entire universe to have evened out to a nice, smooth 2.7 degrees Kelvin? The answer is not by a long shot. There's no way enough time for the universe all to have reached this constant temperature. That's one problem the Big Bang has with this temperature. Now, by the way, that uniform temperature for the universe, that fits perfectly with God making matter on day one and on day four stretching out the heavens to make the stars and the galaxies. Now, the second problem is clumping. Big Bang astronomers are desperately seeking for a variation in this temperature. Do you know why? Because if matter were to form into stars or galaxies, there'd have to be hot spots and cold spots. Where the matter is forming into galaxies, you're going to have hot spots. And so they're looking for variations. And the most they've been able to find so far, they think maybe, is 1 in 100,000 parts difference in the background radiation temperature of the universe. And Big Bang astronomers, astrophysicists, have said that's not enough to bring about stars and galaxies. You need way bigger differences in temperature. But didn't the Big Bang predict the 2.7 degrees? Many who've followed this debate have heard that. Well, let me quote Physics Essays, a refereed international journal, 1997. Big Bang predictions of the microwave background radiation have been adjusted after the fact to agree with observed temperatures. It's not that the Big Bang predicted the background temperature of the universe. That was done in the 20s by Sir Eddington, who got it closer than the Big Bang predictions did a few decades later. Now let's look at how stars form. We're told that they condense from a gas cloud, but can spinning gas clouds condense to form stars? Well, first of all, gas molecules don't have sufficient gravity to attract one another. So the cloud is not even going to begin to condense if it's a gas cloud. But if it does begin to condense, like that nebula there, we're told that's how stars could form even in our own Milky Way galaxy. That nebula is spinning, and it's a gas cloud, and if it begins to condense, you know what happens? The temperature increases, and the pressure increases, and then the condensation is offset because the higher temperature and pressure, the gas wants to expand. And if it somehow overcame that problem, which Big Bang physicists don't know how it would overcome that problem, but if it did, as that spinning nebula contracted, just like a figure skater pulling in her arms, stars would be spinning wildly more quickly than they do in our galaxy. So there's evidence that stars have not formed from condensing nebulas. Okay, the distribution of elements. Didn't the Big Bang predict the percent of chemical elements in the universe? Well, here's a quote from Nature, 1990. It is commonly supposed that the so-called primordial abundances, like helium, hydrogen, provide strong evidence for the Big Bang, but that quote goes on to say that you need to make an assumption, you need a particular ratio to be assumed ad hoc before you can get what was supposedly the original percents of hydrogen and helium and lithium, and so that many of the credits given by the popular press to the Big Bang are exaggerated. And our quotes and our authorities come from the Big Bang side, if you've noticed that. The National Academy of Sciences, they published an alternative to the Big Bang. Now, was that 1973? Well, that was a long time ago. Oh, no, that's 2003. This past year, a motherload of support for the Big Bang, the National Academy of Sciences published an alternative model, which is a lot closer to the popular recent creation Christian model of a white hole and a universe with the center and edges. If the Big Bang was certain beyond any doubt that we could all look and see it's true, then when we brought our knowledge to Scripture, we might really be motivated to say, how do we get this to fit the Bible? But the Big Bang is filled with problems. Even within its own camps, the problems are admitted to be enormous and have not been solved. So we think the Big Bang is not a worthy framework for interpreting the Bible. Our opponents will admit that atheists need billions of years to make God unnecessary. That's their hope, atheists. Our opponents are Christians who believe in God. But the atheists need billions of years. And that's what motivates mainstream science, which becomes vain in its imaginations and gropes in the dark. But Christians, we have the light of the revealed Word of God. Our literal creation account of Genesis 1, it explains why the universe does not match the Big Bang theory. The Bible says 11 times that God stretched out the heavens. 11 times by 5 authors. The detailed chronologies in Genesis date this creation to about 6,000 years ago. On day 4, God formed the sun and the stars and filled the universe with their light because that was his purpose. And he stretched out the galaxies. God forced light out of the stars to fill the universe. And as God enormously stretched all that matter, its temperature naturally averaged out, and the strings of the galaxies we see, we can refer to them as the stretch marks of the universe. And the galaxies, they're all the same age, they're all young, they're all wound up, the spiral galaxies. And the stars are moving wildly fast because he just let them go 6,000 years ago. The oldest book in the Bible, Job, portrays gravity wonderfully with God hanging the earth on nothing. So Scripture gives us good reason to trust the Bible's cosmology. Creation by billions of years say that our solar system condensed from a gas cloud. And Isaac Newton, by the way, who first told us about gravity, he said, no, if you condense a gas cloud and hope to get planets, Isaac Newton said, no, you wouldn't. That wouldn't happen. The planets move as they do because God set them in their motion. And we've now learned that that sun there is about 99% of the mass of our solar system. And so if it condensed from a swirling cloud, the sun should have 99% of the spin and the planets 1%. But it's the opposite. The sun has about 1% of the angular momentum of the solar system and the planets have almost all the spin. When the ancient world worshiped the heavenly bodies, God said their lights don't worship them. So we can trust the Bible's cosmology. No workable theory of natural formation could put the moon in the perfect place to give us the life-giving tides. And since the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun and 400 times closer than the sun, only the earth can see a perfect eclipse. Now, meanwhile, back down on earth, that's all in space, on earth, since the Big Bang supposedly gives us billions of years, and evolutionists like that, then geologists go ahead and they date strata in the millions of years. In this well-known example of the unreliability of dating, Richard Leakey found that skull, 1470, and it was dated by independent laboratories using radiometric dating to be 220 million years old. Well, after a couple years of that, the evolution community didn't like it because that skull is way too human and it's way older than our chimpanzee ancestors. So it was redated. They didn't like the timeline. It was redated to 2.9 million years old. And that, guess what, by three independent labs doing their own work. And that 2.9 million years old, it was still too old. It was still older than some of the monkeys and chimps we've evolved from. And so it was finally dated in the referee journals to be 1.9 million years old. You know how they dated it? Not by radioactive potassium argon. They dated it because they found it near pig fossils, and they said they knew when the pig evolved, therefore they knew when that skull died. So that when we say we are completely confident in radioactive dating, we have to take that with a grain of salt. There's much we don't know about radioactive decay, and the old Earth assumptions were made originally to accommodate evolution. And that's why geologic strata was dated in the hundreds of millions of years before we began doing radioactive dating. Now, the next slide, when we look at our young globe, we see that river deltas have not had time to fill up the Mediterranean nor the Gulf of Mexico. And famous landmarks are revising their signs. Like Carlsbad Cavern, for 80 years they had a sign 260 million years old. Then the evidence was overwhelming, so they changed it to 8 million years, and then they changed it to 2 million years old, and now the sign is gone. Mount St. Helens erupted in 1980, showing that hundreds of cubic miles of strata, even microstrata, could be laid down over a million years. No, over minutes. 50 strata over square miles in minutes when Mount St. Helens blew. And then the subsequent water and mud and ash flows carved out a canyon system that a geologist today would look at it and say, well, that took millions of years to evolve, and we got it on film. It happened in hours and days. Polished straight fossils. All around the world, we find tree fossils standing through supposed thousands or even million years of strata. Polystrate fossils prove that that strata did not form over a million years. They prove it. Because that tree is not going to sit there over a million years as the climates change and the strata are laid down. But you know what happens if a geologist at a university is giving a class, if they're out of sight of the tree, you're a half mile from the tree, so you can't see the tree, Well, then the strata, the layers, are 1 million years old. When you come closer to the tree, there's a real difficulty. But geology has an ability to keep this information distant from their mind. If I was a professional geologist, I would want a map of every polystrate fossil and the whole surface of the Earth so I would know which ones could not be as old as we think they are. But you know what? You want to put that information together? It's difficult. Because mainstream science wants billions of years for the purpose of evolution. Our old Earth opponents do not believe, I don't want to misquote you guys, but they don't believe in a global flood in which all land animals died except for those on the ark. And the two tend to go together. If you don't believe God created in 6 literal days, 6,000 years ago, you typically then don't believe that God brought all the animals onto the ark to survive a global flood. But what would we expect if the whole world were to be flooded? What would we expect? Billions of dead things buried in rock strata, laid down by water, all over the earth. And that's what we have. Moses wrote that the floodwaters covered the mountains, and the fossils give testimony that he was right. How did he know to write that? Now, we're almost done here. You see that boulder ledged in that strata?
If you order the CD of the debate, you'll not only get the entire audio, but also the slide presentation, the photographs, so that as you hear this, you can follow along and see the pictures. So you can order that from us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278.
You see that boulder ledged in that strata? Where is that rock? Notice when it was transported there, the strata above and below it is gently deformed. So that strata was soft when that boulder got transported there. Where is that rock? It'd be so fascinating to know, because then we'd know that that strata didn't lie down over millions of years, but it formed rapidly. Let's see where, that's where it is. It's in the walls of the Grand Canyon. That boulder is right there where that arrow is. The Grand Canyon formed rapidly. It formed rapidly. It was laid down sediments in the flood. An inland sea, a natural sea, burst its own natural dam and gouged out the Grand Canyon within hours to days, a couple days. So finally, we see curved strata like this all over the world. In my last slide, second to the last slide, look at this. Now, 17-million-year-old DNA has been found in a leaf. Now, how do you get an organic molecule like a protein or DNA? It's organic. It's very complicated, organic molecules. How do they survive for millions of years? Chemists and physicists have told us they're going to break down in a few thousand years. Protein can't last forever. DNA can't last forever. And then they found 17-million-year-old DNA in a leaf. And then 100-million-year-old dinosaur protein. That science is where we got Jurassic Park from. Because they were actually doing the science. And they were mocked because they were told, you can't get DNA out of fossils. They're millions of years old. DNA and proteins could only last thousands of years. So are the fossils millions of years old? And these organic molecules have survived for millions of years? Or are the fossils young, recently buried in Noah's flood? 120 million year old insect DNA, 200 million year old fish DNA. Check this out. In a 30 million year old bee, you know what they've extracted? Living bacteria. It's still alive for 30 million years, bacteria in a fossilized bee? Is it immortal? Finally, this is from Nature 2000. Again, we use the Big Bang sources for our evidence. 600 million year old rock, over a 500 million years old, they have living bacillus bacteria that's now cultured in laboratories. It's living. It's alive. Bacteria is not immortal. It's not immortal. So what that tells us, is that science shows that our earth and the universe is not old, and the Bible tells us that God created about 6,000 years ago. Thank you all.
Thank you, Bob. And now, reasons to believe.
I wanted to thank God is now here for the opportunity to participate in this debate. And I want to thank Bob and Dan for being here. We wanted to give a little information about what we do with Reasons to Believe and what we've done in our careers. And may have a little less to say about our position. We'll wait for your questions. My name is John Nickel. Professionally, I went to school at the Colorado School of Mines and received my education in geophysical engineering. I presently work for a company called URS Corporation. It's a very, very large engineering firm. We're actually the largest engineering design firm in the world. And I provide geophysical expertise for engineering and environmental projects. On the ministry side, I've been a Christian for about 12 years. And I presently serve as the chairman of the World Concern Committee at our church. The church is called South Evangelical Presbyterian Fellowship. So we don't really have a paid missions pastor. I serve in that role in a lay position. When I graduated from school, my brother was a Christian at the time and I wasn't. And we would get into these debates a lot about the age of the earth. He would bring me tapes from Institute of Creation Research, and we'd have some great discussions about it. And it's very hard to have a degree in geophysical engineering, frankly, and believe in a young earth. All of the principles that we use to find oil, to do the science that we do, a lot of the things you take for granted operate basically at their gut level on the premise that the earth is old and that the universe is old. Astrophysicists have shown that that's the case, and from a Christian perspective, I found myself having to compartmentalize my faith. I would come to church not knowing that there was a possibility that there was a belief in an old earth from the Christian side, because I had always heard and talked with my brother that that was not an option. So I would go to work and do my thing based on the principles that I learned in school and also based on the premises of an old earth. And then I'd go to church and have to think something else. And that really caused an internal strife with me. And then I was able to hear a lecture one time talk about the fact that you can believe in an old earth, you can believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, you can believe in the literal reading of Scripture, and that it does agree with an old earth. And when I realized that, it was like nirvana for me, or heaven, because I didn't have to compartmentalize anymore. And things made sense.
So that's how the open went. The young earth creation side presented science, and the old earth side presented the trust us defense. They were neat guys, but it's trust me. But then as we got into the debate, it really got into the science, and the young earth side had the stronger scientific position, that from our supporters and the audience generally. So you can order this from us, call 800-8-NYART. And so here at Bob and Yart Live, we try to combat that. So thanks for tuning in. Tune in tomorrow. August 27th, we're going to have a Predestination Free Will Seminar at the Brown Palace Hotel in Denver. I want to invite you to Denver Bible Church. Check out our website, kgov.com, and Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. Simply the best school I've ever seen.